Welcome to the GISC podcast number 22. The GISC e-learning team have held two online conferences which have brought together a key selection of innovators within e-learning to discuss the current and future impact of using technology to support learning and teaching. In this podcast, Lou McGill speaks to Judith Moll and Jeff Minchell, both of whom have worked within the education field for many years and who now run Direct Learn Services, the company that hosted and supported both of the e-learning conferences. In this podcast, they discuss the main differences of staging a major international conference totally online.
I thought I'd start by asking Jeff to give us an idea of the scale of the two GISC conferences that we've held so far.
Hi, Lou. Nice to be talking to you. Yes, they're both actually very large conferences and, according to the feedback we got, very successful. The 2007 conference had over 200,000 words of postings by the participants. The conferences, by and large, aren't live conferences. They work through people posting messages and communicating, but the communication is so fast, sometimes they appear live. So apart from the papers, apart from the presentations, people contributed over 200,000 words, which is a huge amount of content. In terms of participants, there are about just over 320 participants from 12 different countries, the majority of them from the UK, of course. Of the participants, the actual participation, number of people logging in, was 91%, which is a very, very high proportion of people logging in, and we were really pleased with that. We did have more participants in the 2006 conference. We had over 400 in that, but I think we had a little problem with the timing in the 2007 conference, and it was perhaps too late in the year and it clashed with some other events. But even so, 300, 400 participants is a lot of people, we feel.
And what would you say are the advantages of having a fully online approach?
I think there's various advantages, really. One is that you can get a lot more participation from people from a further geographical area, both within the UK and abroad, in the terms of that it's actually cheaper and easier for people to participate. You don't have to do travel, you don't have to stay anywhere, you don't have to book accommodation, and that makes it easier for people from much further afield to actually participate. It's also easier to access in terms of the real costs of staging such an event. A face-to-face conference, even if it's a free event, people still have to travel and have accommodation, as I said before. Another advantage is that you can actually participate in all the sessions. In lots of face-to-face conferences, you have to actually pick and choose which workshops you attend. On an online conference, you don't have to do that. You can actually see all the information that's presented. There's a permanent record of the proceedings, so that means that no information's lost, and you've got the ability to kind of think, what did he say, and go back and read it again, whereas on a face-to-face conference you might lose that opportunity. There's also time to reflect on the discussions. You don't have to rush. You can go back and read again and think about your contributions before you make them. The discussions are 24/7, so you can participate whenever it suits you, be that during the working day or in the evening. And there's a lot more interaction with presenters. At many face-to-face conferences, you have a presentation and then a short session where questions can be asked. In an online conference, often you can have 48 hours or a whole week to question the presenters. And for example, Diana Lorillard, who was a keynote presenter at our 2006 conference, commented on how much more interaction she had than she would at a normal keynote presentation. And the final advantage, I think, is to do with carbon footprints. There is no carbon footprint for an online conference because you don't have all the travel that you have on a face-to-face conference.
I think your comments mirror my experience of the conference. One of the things that struck me was the thoughtfulness behind a lot of the postings that people put up. They'd clearly spent a lot of time reflecting, and the quality of conversation was just so much richer than you would get in a face-to-face event. So for me, that was one of the significant advantages as well. But like everything, I guess, there are some disadvantages to taking this approach. Could you outline some of those for us, Jeff?
Well, there's no bar. And, you know, a lot of people find that a disadvantage. That's not actually a trivial comment. Certainly in the short term conferences that we run for the JISC, you know, four days, five days, whatever, the social networking isn't as good as it would be in a face-to-face event, because there is no bar where you can sit down and chat over the day, or in fact chat about things that aren't anything to do with work. You don't eat together, you don't drink together, so the networking is poorer. And I don't think that's true of online events per se. Clearly, the rise of social networking spaces shows the opposite. But in very short-term events of 3, 4, 5 days, it is an issue. And I think that's possibly one of the failings of our conferences in the past. We've not built in enough social spaces for the participants, and we'll hope to change that in the future. Another problem that delegates, participants often have is that it's not so much with the conference itself, but it's that their colleagues underestimate or don't really believe that the delegates are at a real conference. Because they're sitting in their own office, usually, the colleagues are all around them. They think they're just there to continue working as normal and just dip in and out of the conference. Whereas our conference is very, very intensive. They're always very busy. And it's a real-time commitment and involves a lot of work and requires a lot of concentration. It's too easy for people to be distracted by their day-to-day work because people don't appreciate that it's a real conference. And related to that, it's also often more demanding than a physical conference. Not least because they are so busy, because there were 200,000 words to read through. It can be quite difficult to keep up with everything that's going on. This is also true for the presenters, I think, because the presenters have to prepare their presentations in more detail. We like them to do an audio track over a PowerPoint presentation. We like them to produce extensive speaker notes. That's much harder for the presenters than just preparing a few slides and going along and talking, not quite off the top of the head, but talking without a huge amount of preparation, perhaps, as they can do at a face-to-face conference. So these are kind of disadvantages, but They're also the fact that more preparation is required often leads to a better presentation in the end anyway.
I certainly would echo that. Having been a facilitator on the 2007 conference, it was certainly much more intense to facilitate online than it is when you're with a room full of people. A lot of people have been very, very interested in the conference, not only in terms of the outputs, which will be available as e-books, but also in terms of thinking themselves of trying to run an event online as well. And I wondered whether it was worth trying to sort of pull together some tips and tricks for running a successful online event.
Yeah, I mean, we've been running online conferences for a number of years now, so we've thought quite a lot about what makes a successful online event. And I think one of the first things to realise is that if you're going to organise any event, not just online but face-to-face as well, it's not to underestimate the time that it takes to organise such an event. People think that because it's online, you just sort of use a bulletin board and that's it. But to make a successful event, it takes an awful lot of background organisation, and it's really important not to underestimate how much time and effort it takes. The second most important aspect is to use the right technology. It's really important to use an easy conference environment that facilitates and not hinders participation. People should be able to log in and very quickly just run with it. They shouldn't have to spend ages learning how to use the technology and all its features, so it shouldn't be overspecified. Obviously, any conference has to have a clear focus, so the content has to be match that focus. We think it's important to have it available in various formats, so it should be a mixture between papers, PowerPoint presentations, podcasts, so that you can have different people have different preferences of how they receive information, and it's good to have a variety so that everybody can find something for them. Clear guidance for presenters is really important. Like Jeff just said, presenters need to prepare themselves in advance, but they also need to know what's going to be expected of them actually at the event. It's far more intensive for them than a face-to-face event, just because they're required to be a speaker for a much longer duration. They'll have to participate more in the discussions. They'll be questioned more by the participants. So they need to know what is going to be expected of them. So good guidance for the presenters is essential. And obviously participants need good guidance as well, including how much time they should commit. It's always more than they imagine. People always think because it's online they can dip in and out, but we recommend that they spend quite a substantial amount of time there because it is a real conference. It's really important to provide reading materials in advance. With so many presentations, it's important for people to read them in before the event so that they can come to the discussions knowing what it's all about. So if you only give a very short time before the conference for delegates to prepare themselves, they'll get stressed because they won't have had enough time to actually immerse themselves beforehand. So we give a week before and 4 weeks after for catching up on anything that you couldn't concentrate on during the event but still wanted to read about later. Having good facilitators is key to keeping the discussions going. So facilitators like yourself, Lou, who was absolutely brilliant, are, you know, a main part of the people. Without the good facilitators, it just doesn't really happen in the way it should do. And one of the things that facilitators do, which is great to keep the conference going, is to provide summaries at the end of each day. It's impossible with so much content to keep on top of it all the time. And at the end of the day, the delegates are usually busy people and they can't commit to the conference full time. So for them to not get lost in this kind of vast amount of information, they can use the summaries to quickly catch up and navigate through the threads. So that's really helpful for the participants. Providing social spaces and activities is something that delegates love and we need to provide more of. There is live chat and there is personal messaging, which allows delegates to have conversations between them, which are private and they don't form part of the record of the conference. But social activities are really good for networking. And finally, I think the most important point is to have an overall organiser of a conference, so that somebody maintains the whole picture and can make sure that all the elements of the conference hang together well.
I would definitely agree with that final point as well. And I think going back to your point about the different formats, there was such a great range of formats in the 2007 conference where people had wikis as well. And which brings us on to sort of thinking about the future, really. And what potentials do the kind of new technologies offer, or new approaches, as we sort of think about the future of online conferences?
It's an interesting question, and we need to be quite careful, I think, in some ways. We don't want to use technology just because it's there. There's a massive danger in doing that. And keeping stuff simple is really important, we feel, because it is a short-term conference. There isn't a vast amount of time for people to get used to different platforms or whatever. And we don't want anything to interfere with the actual true purpose of the conference, which is sharing information and discussing and so on. Now, having said that, we've already said that we'd like to organise more social spaces, and we'll look at ways of doing that. But there's also a demand from participants for more live events. I say it's a demand. I mean, a lot of people have said they would like more live events. Last year, we ran with EduServe an event in Second Life as part of the conference, and we could also do more of those, and we could run live webcasts, so the PowerPoint presentations wouldn't be recorded in advance. There would be live during the conference and then recorded, so people who couldn't attend at that time in the conference could see them later on. That, of course, brings problems, because people always have connectivity problems with live events, invariably we find. But nevertheless, if it's recorded, that doesn't really matter. People can go back to it later on. There's a demand for live events, and we'll try and meet that. Having said that, at least some participants say they definitely don't want live events. They much prefer the asynchronous interaction that our events normally have. But I think if we can provide a mixture of the two, that will benefit everybody, really.
Could I ask one question as well? In this year's conference, one of the sessions actually had some student participation, and that proved to be very interesting for delegates to sort of have that ability to engage with students. And that was something I personally found quite interesting. And do you think that that's also something to sort of investigate in future? Clearly, it needs quite a lot of support and management.
Yes, it did work very well, that, actually. We were really pleased with how it worked out. Yes, there's definitely more scope for that. And clearly, it depends on the type of session as well, on the content of the session, and it depends on the relationship, perhaps, of the particular presenters with those students. But it's something that we would definitely be interested in doing again.
I think, actually, an online event lends itself even more to that kind of participation, just because for learners to travel is, you know, quite complicated, but also it means that they're not as exposed, because standing up in front of a hall full of people is quite intimidating if you're not used to doing it. And the students that participated could do it at their own pace and when they felt comfortable, and they could say as much or as little as they wanted to, and obviously their contribution was extremely valuable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought that was great. Well, thank you very much, Judith and Jeff, for talking with us today about this. I'm sure we'll look forward to next year's event, and also people can have an opportunity soon to read the e-books from this year's event. So I'd just like to say thanks very much and goodbye.
Thanks, Lily.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
A pleasure. Bye.
You've been listening to a JISC podcast. For further information, please visit www.jisc.ac.uk. Thank you.